Greetings. Welcome to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores First Quarter 2024 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. Please note this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ramón Güines. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores First Quarter 2024 Earnings Conference Call. Before proceeding, I would like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at Bolsa. Such statements reflect the current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in the general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, in prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded and a replay of this call will be available online on April 25th at Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, all figures are in Mexican pesos and compared to the first quarter of 2023, unless stated otherwise. This call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. Joining us for today's call are José Oriol Bosch, CEO, Claudio Vivian, Chief Information Officer, Hugo Contreras, Chief Compliance and Regulations Officer, José Manuel Allende, Chief Capital Formations, Markets and Information Services Officer, Roberto González, Chief Post-Trade Officer, Gabriel Rodriguez, IFICAP CEO, Alfredo Guillén, Managing Director of Equity Markets, José Miguel de Dios, Managing Director of Derivatives Markets, Rosa Crespo, Managing Director of Human Resources, Luis René Ramón, Director of Investor Relations, and myself, Ramón Güemes, CFO. I would now like to turn the call over to our CEO, José Oriol Bosch.
Thank you, Ramón, and thanks to all of you for joining us today to discuss the 2024 first quarter results for BMV Group. As you know, we announced our results yesterday afternoon, and copies of our press release and the slide deck are available at bmv.com.mx under Investor Relations. To start, I would like to go over the foreign exchange fluctuations on our revenues, expenses, and EBITDA, as this factor is important for a comprehensive year-over-year comparison. Then, I will walk you through the different division results, and finally open up to questions on the conference call line. FX had a double impact in the quarter, about 30% of BMV's revenue and 25% of its expenses are linked to the U.S. dollar. On one hand, the strength of the Mexican peso had a 28 million pesos negative impact in revenue in the first quarter, mainly in information services and the Central Securities Depository, Indeval. While, on the other hand, expenses were 13 million pesos lower than expected, mainly in technology and subcustody fees. The net negative impact on EBITDA was 15 million pesos. With that in mind, let's review the quarter financial highlights in slide number 4. In the first quarter 2024 key financial highlights, the revenue was 967 million pesos, down 7% because of lower trading in transactional businesses, fewer cross-border transactions, and an unfavorable exchange rate. Expenses were 477 million pesos, up only 1%, mainly due to personal expenses and the depreciation of leased hardware. EBITDA was registered at 552 million pesos, down 11%. Net income was reported at 375 million pesos, 10% below the first quarter of 2023, but in line with the latest three quarters. The quarter was marked by a challenging environment defined by persistent high interest rates and a strong peso. Despite these ongoing hurdles, we have prudently controlled costs and made the strategic investments in technology to drive our progress forward. On the next slide, we'll go over the revenue by business line. In slide number five, capital formation or the listing of equity, debt, and alternatives, as well as its annual maintenance, contributed this quarter with 14% of BNP Group revenue. Transactional businesses, which consist of equity trading and clearing, derivatives trading and clearing, and OTC trading, generated 37% of revenue. Information services made up of data analytics, indices, valuation, and financial risk management services had a 17% weight. The Central Securities Depository, Indeval, which is responsible for the custody, settlement, and global market services, mainly cross-border transactions, participated with 28% of revenue. The softest performance came from information services and Central Securities Depository because of FX. It not only affects our top line, but also influences investors' behavior, which is evident in the decline observed in equity trading, clearing, and settlement in the global market or FIC. Nevertheless, we anticipate a more dynamic market in the upcoming months, driven by the elections in Mexico and the U.S., as well as other ongoing geopolitical developments. Please turn to slide number six to go over equity trading and clearing. Revenue in cash equities trading and clearing was down 10% when compared to the first quarter of last year. It is important to highlight two things. First, in the first quarter, there were only 60 business days compared to 63 in the previous year. And second, 7 million pesos correspond to non-recurring revenue, and after excluding this item, the variation shows a decrease of 18%. This number is consistent with the average daily traded value, the ADTV, at BMV, which was registered at 14.6 billion pesos, down 21%. The local market was up 6%, while the global market decreased 45%. As mentioned before, the investor's behavior is influenced by the strength of the peso. On the positive side, during the first quarter of 2024, we regained 200 basis points in market share, ending at 82%. As for the CCB, revenue was down 10%, even though the total ADTV for both Mexican exchanges was down 18%. This is explained by a lower number of cross trades in the quarter. Let's go to the next slide to review derivatives. On derivatives trading and clearing, the revenue in derivatives was down 3 million pesos or 5% in the quarter due to lower trading of dollar futures as well as fewer business days compared to the same quarter last year. The average daily notional value of dollar futures reached $342 million, up 4%, while the open interest decreased 16% due to clients closing positions in the period. As you well know, dollar futures are the main driver of MexDer. Therefore, we are planning to list mini dollar futures in the coming months. In Asigna, the average margin deposits were $42 billion for the quarter, showing an increase of 11% due to excess deposits by clients. The net effect of lower trading and excess deposits showed a small gain of 1 million pesos in revenue. On slide number 8 on the OTC trading, in CFICA, OTC trading and value-added services revenue decreased 11 million pesos or 6%. CFICA Mexico dropped 9 million pesos, primarily due to lower CO2 emission compensations via carbon credit from Mexico CO2. Meanwhile, revenue at CFICA Chile was down 2 million pesos due to FX. The Chilean peso depreciated 9% versus the Mexican peso in the quarter. On slide number 9, we have the figures for capital formation. Listings performed strong in both short-term and long-term debt markets, with revenue increasing 49%. In short-term, 342 issuances were placed for a total amount of 70 billion pesos, while in long-term debt, 23 issuances were registered for a total amount of 99 billion pesos. In the equity market, Fibra Prologis conducted a primary public and private offering of certificates totaling 9.6 billion pesos, while Fibra Monterrey also carried out a primary public and private offering of certificates totaling 7.8 billion pesos. In the first quarter, we continue witnessing a recovery fueled by growth projects, nearshoring, and in this instance, a favorable peso that encourages companies to opt for local debt over international options. I would also like to mention that the secondary loans to the amendments to the securities market law continues under review. BMP has started a program called the Cero a Bolsa, which means from zero to Bolsa, with the goal of explaining companies the benefits of issuing debt or equity in the market and process to get there. We will review the small print and work together with financial authorities and intermediaries to make this possible. Regarding maintenance, revenue was down 4% due to variations in the timing of revenue recognition last year. Given that the number of outstanding issuances in 2023 was slightly above the previous year, you can anticipate a modest annual growth in this line. Moving on to the Central Securities Depository on slide number 10, Indeval revenue was down 5% or 15 million in the first quarter or 5%, while a reduction in cross-border transactions and trade settled in the global market, along with the FX fluctuations, had a 26 million pesos impact. The increase in assets under custody resulted in a gain of 11 million pesos. Assets under custody increased 12% in the local market to 35 trillion pesos and 11% in the global market to 1.7 trillion pesos. The pension market reform is beginning to show its effect in the numbers, and we foresee a gradual but sustained benefit from this initiative over the next 6 years. As announced previously, we are currently working to accelerate the settlement cycle to T+1 in May 2024 in line with the USA and Canada to better serve market participants by offering a more efficient transaction and mitigation risk. Moreover, we have started implementation with NASDAQ to modernize Indeval and CCB infrastructure. This is a 3-year project that will replace our in-house development and open the door to new services in the future. Finally, on slide number 11, on information services, the revenue registered 169 million pesos in the first quarter of 2024, down 31 million or 16%. It is relevant to mention that the appreciation of the Mexican peso against the dollar represented a negative impact of 20 million pesos. Additionally, Balmer had non-recurring income of 10 million pesos in the first quarter of the previous year related to the implementation of a portfolio management system. Excluding these two items, revenues for the first quarter of 24 were in line with those of the previous year. In Balmer, we have decided to stop commercializing Open Finance, a software for a portfolio management. In annual terms, the sales from this software represented 16.4 million pesos in revenue and 15.7 million pesos in expenses under consulting fees. As a result, we foresee no impact on our financial results. In the future, our focus remains on expanding our presence in North America and strengthening our alliance with the German Stock Exchange to distribute our data in Europe. We're also targeting new clients like digital banks and fintech companies, which combined with our transition to the cloud and the new distribution model. This initiative has the potential to drive significant progress. All in all, our diversified business model has played once again an important role in the results. Going forward, we anticipate a shift in monetary policy trends, a more stabilized foreign exchange landscape, and increased activity across financial markets. We continue to hold a positive outlook for 2024. Now, let's look at our operating expenses in slide number 12. Operating expenses in the first quarter were 477 million pesos, up only 1%. I will go over the main items on a year-to-date basis. Personal expenses up 7 million pesos or 3% due to the net effect of annual salary increments at the beginning of the year and lower variable compensation in CFICAP. Technology up 1 million pesos due to higher technology consultancies related to architecture and process management. IT expenses were 7 million pesos lower than expected due to a strong peso. Depreciation increased 5 million pesos because of the hardware leases for the segregation of post-trade infrastructure and the amortization of completed projects such as the qualified intermediary at Indeval and enhancements to the financial risk management platform marketed by Palmer. Consulting fees down 3 million pesos, 5 million less due to the cancellation of the portfolio management system that Palmer used to sell, and 2 million up in advisory services. Others decreased by 5 million pesos because of lower sales of CO2, offsets in Mexico CO2, which is part of CFICAP. In the last slide, in the number 13, as a summary, BNP Group delivered resilient recurring results in the first quarter of 2024, impacted by lower average daily traded value in the global market, fewer cross-border transactions, and adverse exchange effect on dollarized services. Net income was recorded at 375 million pesos, in line with the previous three quarters. In a scenario where the exchange rate remains constant in the first quarter of 2023 and the first quarter of 2024, Grupo BMV would have recorded an additional 28 million pesos in revenue and 15 million pesos in EBITDA. Despite facing a turbulent quarter marked by geopolitical conflicts and restrictive monetary policy, we have made great progress in fulfilling our strategic objectives, maintaining a strong client focus, further developing a sustainable business, and evergreen technology platforms. Our capital expenditures in technology during the first quarter of 2024 were 55 million pesos, that is 131% higher than last year, but in line with our investment plans. The strategic steps we have taken to accelerate the technological evolution of BMV Group will enable us to better serve our clients in the future. We remain committed to collaborating with financial authorities to advance the approval of our strategic project, notwithstanding the electoral cycle. Currently, our primary focus is the rollout of the central counterparty services for fixed income, beginning with buy and sell transaction of Mexican government bonds. This initiative leverages our and on CCB's financial market infrastructure, which currently only supports equities. We anticipate securing authorization by the end of the second quarter of this year and aim to initiate operations in the fourth quarter of 2024. A key prerequisite for initiating operations is ensuring that trading platforms and clearing members are fully authorized and prepared to settle bonds through CCB. On a different note, during the first quarter of the year, we bought back 350,000 common shares under our buyback program, and we intend to maintain this approach going forward. Furthermore, in the previous board meeting, it was approved to recommend to the shareholders' assembly an annual dividend of 2.12 pesos per common share, or 80% payout. That concludes my formal remarks. I thank you for the time, and together with my colleagues, we will gladly answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you would like to ask a question, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question is from Ernesto Gabilondo with Bank of America. Please proceed.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, Jose Oriol, Ramon, and Rene. Thanks for taking my call. I have three questions from my side. The first one is on the pipeline for long-term debt and equities listings. How do you see them ahead of the elections? I was wondering if you're seeing companies like on hold or concerned with the local and the U.S. elections. And historically, which has been the month with higher volatility ahead of the Mexico's and U.S. elections? Then for my second question is in terms of regulation. So can you remind us how has been the implementation of this new securities law, and when should we start to see the discussions for the secondary law that could help the entrance of multi-asset funds and hedge funds in Mexico? And then my last question is on operating expenses. Just wondering how much room do you have to maintain the cost under control? You're having a lot of still strategic projects. So while we wait for revenues to pick up on the lower rates and revenues in dollars benefiting from the peso depreciation against the dollar, how much room do you have to maintain OPEX under control? Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Ernesto. The first one on listing and pipeline. I would say on the listing segment, as Ariel mentioned, this quarter we continue the good trend that we had last year, especially on the debt segment on the long term. Listing revenues were up Short-term placement increased 20%, long-term placements more than 15% in the quarter, and the outstanding number of long-term debt has also increased from the base numbers that we have had for the last 3 years, around 485 issuances. So in this quarter, companies from many sectors, Fibras, have been active in the market. So going forward, in the next quarter, I think it's going to be a little bit different. We still have some companies in the road to come to the market, but the pipeline is not as strong as it used to be on the last maybe 3 or 4 quarters on the last year. We will have some placements in April, May, but not so many for June, July, as far as we can see. But we think, and what we have talked with companies, it makes sense as some of them have anticipated the election process with their debt renewals and also for new placements that they were seeking. So the pipeline we usually have is diminishing for the following quarter. And we don't see also any IPO in this quarter, maybe some follow-ons and some Cicadas and Serpis. Regarding the second question, the security market law, well, as it was approved last year, in order to make easier, cheaper, and faster the listing processes, basically through this concept of the Puerta Simplificada. But I want to mention there were some other changes in law which are starting to be used. For instance, companies adopting equity structure with non-voting shares, and some other changes to speed up follow-ons and subscription. These was already done by some companies in the process, and it would it make it faster the process. Regarding the oferta simplificada, which is the main topic of the law, last month we were being working with authorities. They released to market participants a project of potential changes to this secondary legislation for ofertas simplificadas, and while it was a good start, the market participants, including the exchange, we make some comments and changes that we think it will make it simpler and easier, and some criteria that may include a broader number of companies. And up to now, we are still waiting for response back for with the new project from the authorities. But that's the status.
And lastly, Ernesto, good morning. Regarding expenses, we're keeping them, keeping a close eye on them, and we'll continue to do our best to control expenses and to keep the margin. That's our goal. So if we see, the revenues not picking up, we'll have to see what we can do for in expenses. We'll definitely, there's always, some wiggle room to control.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Just to follow up in terms of the regulations, you were saying that you have been discussing the oferta simplificada, meaning to simplify requirements to get new equity listings and debt listings into the stock exchange. But in terms of the hedge funds and multi-asset funds, when do you see this coming through? It will be discussed second half and probably introduced in 2025. Just a little bit of color on that will be very helpful.
Regarding hedge funds, to be honest, I think as far as I know, no big advance has been done on this regulation. On all the efforts are focused so far on the oferta simplificada. I think this part of regulation for the hedge fund will come after for discussion, after the oferta simplificada. So I don't think it's going to be this month, at least.
And you were also asking about elections. All in all, we are expecting a positive year in Mexico and for the exchange. Talking about the Mexican economy is doing well, and we think it will continue this year, and at least in relative terms, better than other countries, explained by all the opportunities that we all know on the nearshoring, et cetera. And we have seen that, and we did see that in the financing last year. We did see that in the financing activity that we already mentioned at the during the first quarter, increasing short-term 25%, but also long-term debt compared to the first quarter of last year, 15%, and last quarter, and the first quarter of 23 was also a very good quarter. We are also seeing that in Fibras. We are seeing a lot of activity in Fibras. As mentioned in the first quarter, we had Fibra Prologis, Fibra Monterrey, but we are seeing much more activity with other Fibras, in particular all the Fibras that are in on the industrial side. Volatility with the elections, I don't know exactly the month, and it will depend, but usually when we have had elections, either MEX or U.S. elections, have been positive years for us in the equity market. We see more volatility, a bit more of volatility also on the currency side. That is something that will help us on the global market activity. And we're also positive on the other things that we are doing that have already been mentioned, as the opportunity that we have been working on expanding the services, the current services of our CCP beyond equities, including debt, the electronification of the fixed income market, and also all the investments that we are doing on technology. So all in all, we think that it should be a positive 2024 for the Mexican exchange.
Oh, super helpful, Oriol. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you, Ernest.
Our next question is from Jorge Anderson with Santander. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you very much. Hello, Oriol, Ramon, and Luis. Thank you very much for the Q&A space. I have a couple of questions regarding your market data business. You mentioned that you had some hard comps on your information services income because of some non-recurring revenues in the first quarter of last year. But also on a sequential basis, this line fell 6% quarter over quarter. I also understand that you attribute this partially to the peso strength that you mentioned in the conference call. But so my question would be, if we remove this exchange rate effect out of the equation, how did you see the structural trend of the information services segment in the first quarter? And also, what should we expect going forward for this year and for 2025? That would be my first question.
Hi. Well, regarding this data segment and how to grow, and how will we grow in this year, as Ariel mentioned, information services was down 16% in the quarter. It was mainly due to two factors. First, the exchange rate appreciation accounts for over 10% of that 16%. And the second, this non-recurring extraordinary income of Valmer and the data services. These figures are obviously strange, as the data segment has been growing for the last years over in the double-digit rate. But for the quarter, excluding all these items, revenues are close or in line to what we saw in the last year. We have a strategy that we set some years ago to focus on the international expansion. So at that time, we changed fully the technology platform we open up the point of presence in New York, expand cloud services and reach Europe, and that allows also to catch up in pricing. All this and the stability at the time, the peso, as I mentioned, allows to grow over double digit. So going forward, we still see demand for our product, regardless of what happened in this quarter. We see demand for our products, especially on the pub in New York, on the international customers. The pub where we are in the data center has close to 5,000 hedge fund brokers, institutional investors, which are potential customers that we are targeting and focusing on. So there's a pipeline which we think will be coming eventually to connect into for the data services. We are also focusing on other projects, penetration in Europe, as Ariel mentioned, providing historical data, some projects for new infrastructure and connectivity to make it easier for international customers to connect locally on our facilities, the pub, the clouds, and data analytics. So all that, those projects for the next quarters and years will provide us to keep on the growth. Maybe not as aggressive as this high double digit that we have had in some previous years, but we're positive that we can keep growing on the high single digit, low double digit in the next quarters, years, regardless of the appreciation or not of the exchange rate.
Thanks. That's very useful. Actually, I wanted to make a follow-up question on this topic. You mentioned you have a potential of 5,000 brokers, right, for pipelines. And I was thinking that also you mentioned that you see fintechs as new clients. What would be like the addressable market going forward, and what kind of services are you offering to fintechs? Are these fintechs outside Mexico? I don't know, any detail that you can share on that? And I don't know if you have like the current number of clients and how much can you expand this client base going forward.
It's different. For the local fintechs, we're offering data services through Valmer, through APIs, to provide them with the information and data that we have on the Grupo Bolsa, as well as providing services for risk management purposes and also for regulatory compliance. And the 5,000 customers that I refer were in the data center that where we are connected in the POP in New York, the point of presence. That's specifically for the real-time data product for the equity and derivative segment on the market. I mean, that's a huge amount of potential customers. Not all of them, of course, are focused on LATAM or Mexico. So we are doing some efforts on targeting which funds, hedge funds, and institutional investors are focused on investing in LATAM or emerging markets, including Mexico, so we can better target them.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question is from Caio Prado with UBS. Please proceed.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I have just one on my side, please, related to the trading in the global market. So we can see that volumes for global markets actually sharply reduced, like 50% year on year. So, and this has an impact on custody and so on. So what do you think could be the main reasons behind that drop, especially on the global market? Because when we think the change, when we think about the change regarding the allocation of trading, it was more related to the local markets, right? So just would like to get a sense from you about what is happening nowadays and what is the expectation of the company moving forward, if there is any initiative that you are working here to increase volumes, please. Thank you.
Yes, hello, this is Alfredo Guillen. What we've been observing in the market is that the lower trading volumes obviously affect the marketplace in general. So what we're seeing is that also the low volatility that we're experiencing, the low trading between the SIC and the markets they refer to with these arbitrage operations has been lowering because of these FX low volatility and appreciation of the peso. So this is more a response of low volatility in the peso-dollar exchange rate, and that gives us less participation in the market in which we have been very active in the past. No? So what are we expecting? That obviously, as we reach the elections in the U.S. and in Mexico, volatility will start to pick up. Interest rates will start to diminish by the end of this year. And therefore, our main competitor is the interest rate, not necessarily the other exchange. So at this point, what we're expecting is more volatility by second half of this year. Our market share is steady around 82%. And obviously, if we foresee more volatility, participants will choose the venue that has more depth and a better price formation.
Okay, thank you very much. And just a follow-up, as you mentioned, about the market share trends. After the recent regulatory change, the last one that we had, we saw that you lost some additional market share, but seems that it is stabilizing nowadays. So just would like to have a sense from you, if you are witnessing any potential new change in the regulatory framework regarding the competition with BIVA, or if you are seeing any aggressive movements from BIVA today in any specific revenue line. So a quick overview would be good here. Thank you.
At this point, we are dealing with the August 22nd regulation of year 2022. At this point, probably the authorities are revising to improve that regulation, which is not necessarily very competitive for all the marketplace in general. So at this point, we believe that there could be improvements that could benefit the whole marketplace, and in order to drag more participants from abroad, because obviously if you have a not very clear regulation in terms of trading, participants will step out from Mexico and went to Brazil. No? So at this point, what we're expecting is a better regulation. Probably it will be hard to see this regulation come out before the elections. But at this point, we're not depending on that to be competitive. We have been very active in providing the marketplace a good service, liquidity, and obviously opportunities in several trading features that we have in place. No?
And the competition, the local competition we have, is not just in the cash equity trading. It is also on the financing side. And here we also have very good news. We have been gaining back market share. And just to give you two numbers, on debt, on short-term plus long-term in number of issuances, we had in the first quarter 96% of the issuances, local issuances in the market. In terms of amount, it was a bit lower, but a pretty good number. The financing amount at the Bolsa was during the first quarter 93%, so 96 and 93. So I think that's a pretty good number, and we continue to gain back market share.
Okay, excellent. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Carlos Gomez with HSBC. Please proceed.
Hello and good morning. So I have two questions. The first one refers to the proposed pension reform and whether you think that that could have any impact in the company in the short, but also in the medium and long term. Second, I mean, we keep talking about the influence of the foreign exchange on your business. Would you consider at some point any type of hedging measure, or you prefer to have the natural exposure that you already have to the currency? Thank you.
Okay, so on the pension reform, it started at the beginning of 2023, and we're already starting to see the benefits of that. You can see that on Indeval, under the assets under custody. That number is up not only because of this, also because of a bit more securities on the global market as well as on the local market. But the number is up 12% year over year. And we will continue to see this behavior going forward. We expect this to continue over the next 6 years. The pension funds or Afores will double in size, and, well, they will have the need to invest those assets through the exchange. So first, it's an opportunity on the securities depository on Indeval, but it's also an opportunity that we have on the other divisions on capital formation to get more products listed or to get a bit more traction on the trading, clearing, and the full stock cycle. So it's a gradual improvement, but you'll continue to see this under Indeval, under the custody.
And Carlos, on your second question, whether we're considering an FX hedge, yeah, we've begun to think about it. Or we're not. We have a natural long position. We generate dollars. I think what we're seeing is a rather extraordinary behavior of the peso. We've never seen the peso so strong for such a long time. Oriol here likes to make fun of people who have bought dollars. But, you know, yes, we're thinking about it, but we haven't made a decision on that yet.
Okay, that's clear. And on the pension reform, I was actually thinking, I mean, it's clear the positive impact of the pension reform that came into effect last year. But also you have this minor one this year with the pension del bienestar, I believe it's called. I know it's minor, but do you see that with some concern, or does it have any impact on flows going forward?
I think this we have to see how that plays out in court. It's something that's more of a banking regulation, what you do with a dormant account. So we're not expecting any specific, impact to our market, to the Bolsa. But we have to see how that plays out in the end. You know, there is some understanding as to what's the best use of dormant accounts, but you have to decide what's the best use of the proceeds and who is the owner of those proceeds. But we'll have to wait and see how that plays out in the courts. But no specific direct impact on us, I think.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you so much.
Our next question is from Edson Murguia with FEMNA Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. The first one is a follow-up on global market, ADTV, because if you compare with the other banks or even other financial institutions during this first quarter, trading revenue actually increased. And the VIX, the volatility indicator, was up during the quarter. So I was wondering if there is another reason than in the global market we saw a decrease in the ADTV, because I'm not following, or perhaps it's something related to more customers are trading in the U.S. rather than Mexico, or there has to be another reason, not only the FX. That will be my first question. My second question is regarding on the project that Oriol mentioned about this 3G project in service, and if I got it correctly, the CCV. So could you explain a little bit more? What efforts are you following or trying to do for the next couple of years? Trying to understand the stage of this project. Thank you.
Yes, at this point, what investors are looking is buy and hold. Obviously, this is a complex year in terms of elections, and obviously, the wars have been a major player in decision making. There has been flight to quality, and obviously, all emerging markets are suffering from the same situation. Mexico is not the only marketplace in which volumes have gone down. And the FX obviously has other implications. Valuations also are affected by a stronger peso. And there are a lot of alternatives. As I said before, our main competitor is not the other exchange, is Brazil, when regulation is not in place in Mexico, and high interest rates. So when the marketplace starts to suffer from not a good regulation in terms of best execution, and obviously we are facing this low volatility in the market, we are expecting these lower values.
And I think, Edson, that in addition to the FX, it is also the performance. If you look at the SIC, the most active ETFs that are traded in the global market that are highly related to the FX, so are more FX trades than an equity trade, as are the case of the short term U.S. treasuries that have ETFs and are used as an exchange rate play. However, on the performance side, I think that this is also having an impact. It had an impact on the positive side, as most of the companies that are the technology disruptive companies had a very good performance, but have been having some corrections. I think that this has also been reducing the traded volume, in addition to the strong peso and stability on the lower volatility on the exchange rate.
Okay. Okay. And regarding to my second question.
On the central counterparty, what we've been working on is, as Oriol mentioned, is on developing this capacity for bond trading. So what we will be expecting to get the approval from authorities just for direct transactions, buy and sell, by this quarter. That means that we will be ready to provide the service, but we still need to continue working with the clearing members and with brokers, voice brokers and electronic trading brokers, so that we can connect and we can create and make this new service to work in the market. In addition, the plan is also to add clearing for repos. And one thing that we just saw, repos, yes, that would be critical and relevant for the market regarding efficiencies for back office, and also the capital, they will have relevant savings by not having the need to issue capital, because one of the benefits of central clearing of repos is that it reduces some of these requirements. And we just saw that the U.S. will make the central clearing mandatory for next year. So that is something also that will help, I believe, in the coming months to get this new service up and running and getting more traction by next year.
Okay, so just joining the dots, by the second quarter 2024, you might get the approval from the Mexican authorities, and operationally, it will start in the fourth quarter, but it's only be fixed income, right? Bonds and so on. But for those parts of repo and technology, it's going to be another stage looking ahead for this mandatory clearing for the next year. Am I getting right?
Yes, the approval should be this quarter, operationally okay. Third, fourth quarter this year, and repos, the idea is to develop in this year and be ready for next year, and we will certainly follow what it will be implemented in the U.S. And with the impact, the positive impact that they will have, that mostly the seven largest banks in the country, I think that they would be more than glad to participate in this.
Okay, thank you so much, Oriol and Wemes and all the C-suite in the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our final question is from Yuri Fernandez with JP Morgan. Please proceed.
Thank you, guys. I had a quick one regarding the one-off trading gains you had. Like, if you can provide some more color on the trading, like the 7 million pesos you put in the release. And a second one, also quick on pricing. In 19, and in the past years, we saw some changes on listing, maintenance. Like, there were pricing changes for Bolsa. My understanding is that you need approval for price changes. Like, you need to have CNBV approving those changes. But just checking the box, like, anything that you can do on pricing to kind of help on revenues. I understand volumes are challenging. I understand you are doing. You have a good cost control that are trying to create new products on data services and others. But what about pricing? What can you tell us here? What can you do? Or maybe the is not something that you're paying attention at. Thank you very much.
Yuri, regarding the one-offs in revenues we had for 7 million pesos, there are 2023 revenues that were billed in 2024 related to services for some brokers. So it's just has to do with the tax effect, and some brokers asked for the delayed billing of some services. And regarding the listing and maintenance fees, we were not currently looking at changes in pricing. It's a process that's done with the authorities, but we're not analyzing that yet.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have reached the end of our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to management for closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much once again for attending our quarterly conference call. Thank you very much for the interest and your questions. And if you need something else, you have our contact information. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. This will conclude today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and thank you for your participation.